Julia and Philip Siracusa, sponsored by Carnation, airing live on the United Public Radio Network on 105.3 FM in New Orleans. This show's entrance has been edited, produced, and directed by Gwen Clapper from Perfect Trust Productions, LLC. You can find us at perfecttrustproductions.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Monday night's segment of Horsefly Chronicles Radio with myself, Julia Siracusa, and Philip Siracusa. We're broadcasting live from the International Public Radio and the United Paranormal Radio Network on 105.3 FM from New Orleans. This evening's show is fully sponsored by Carnation, so we want to thank them for their sponsorship. We love them. Thank you. We will have to do a few things in order to participate. Go over to the YouTube channel, UFO Paranormal Radio or International Public Radio. You can also go into all of the Facebook stations, UFO Paranormal Radio Network, UFO Undercover with Joe Montaldo, News on the Flip Side, Twitch, SoundCloud, Podbeam, and also go over to our group, Horsefly Chronicles Radio. Join if you haven't. And if you have any questions for the guests, please ask. So tonight, guys, we want to welcome to the show Miss Kimberly, Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. She is an internationally re-owned naturopath doctor, an energy healer, remote viewer, seasoned paranormal researcher, and a psychic medium. For the past 25 years, she's worked on thousands of people around the world. She's also an author and has helped police on many occasions with her abilities. So please, let's welcome Dr. Kimberly McGeorge to the show. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. We appreciate it. So, Kimberly, take us to the beginning of your story. How did this all start for you? And
yeah, I mean, it's quite impressive. You're a doctor and, you know, you have these abilities and these encounters, which is fascinating. I think you're the first person that's a doctor that we're interviewing that's been through this. So it's kind of unique and different. Yes, I'd like to hear about it. Yeah, let's go backwards to adolescence. Just tell us, you know, a little bit about yourself then, and did you have any abilities at that point?
Yeah, I actually had abilities. I call it being born partially awake because when I was a baby, and I guess I first opened my eyes, my first conscious thought was, F-U-C-K, where am I? Why can't I walk? Why can't I talk? Like, what's going on? So I feel like I had memory of my previous incarnation where I was, you know, fully adult. And so as a baby, which is very frustrating, I had an adult mind. So I was bored. Of course, I mean, when you're, it's basically a prison until you can walk. So I walked very early, at like 7 months, because I'm like, forget this. I'm at least going to be moving around in this place and figure it out. But, and, you know, then, you know, going forward, you know, my mom put me down for naps. And, you know, I thought this happened to everybody, you know, spirits would come in, human discarnates, the ceiling would open up and I would see the multiverse and I would see just like Stargate, all the Stargates with different beings guarding them. And I would go through different Stargates and totally immerse. I can't do this now, so don't think I do, but like totally immerse myself in these worlds. And then, you know, would come back. My mom was like, did you sleep? I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. You know, but I didn't. I wandered the multiverse. And then that's when we were living outside Chicago. And that's when I first found out when I was really young, that I had, I didn't know it was called remote viewing, but, all the sirens would go by at night and I was terrified of them because every time I heard a siren, I got a movie and the movie was, sometimes it was boring and stupid, but usually it was bloody and gory and horrible, you know, for a 3, 4, 5 year old to be seeing, you know, rape victims and decapitated people and people hanging in the parks and dead bodies and robberies. It was just very, very fires, very traumatic. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that that's called remote viewing. I just thought everybody did that. So that was when I first, you know, experienced these like huge abilities. But then when my brother was born and, you know, he was able to talk and I was kind of like in elementary school and I started interacting with the, you know, people around me, I realized nobody was like me. And I felt like a complete alien because, you know, I would try to talk about ghosts and spirits and people thought I was crazy and they just like blanked me out. And I thought my brother had these abilities and he didn't. I thought my parents had these abilities. So I was the black sheep, born into a very conservative, of course, you've heard the story a million times, religious family. My dad's actually a pastor. So yeah, real interesting experience. So then kind of shut down quite a bit, not completely, really all the way until college. So I really didn't turn or start walking back into my abilities till I left home, kind of got away from the family, and I started to dare to be a little bit more myself, which is typical college. We usually reinvent ourselves, you know, when we go away, and we have that opportunity. So I became known around campus as being highly accurate at, you know, when is my boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, going to ask me to marry them? Or is somebody cheating, especially with all the romance stuff? Or am I going to pass this test? Or, you know, weird, just stupid college stuff, you know, that we care about. Nobody else cares about in real life, but everybody cares about in college. So I developed quite a bit of buzz. I even had a stalker. I don't talk about this a lot, but it kind of plays into everything. I think I attracted the attention of some of the wrong people. And I had a stalker that like hacked into the college phone system and the FBI came out and caught it. It was this big, big thing. My parents almost pulled me out of school because I'm in this Christian school. They're like, how the heck do you get a stalker that the FBI becomes involved? They're like, what is happening? Who are you? But all that attention attracted the attention of the Chicago police. And this was in the 80s. And at the time, they were just developing their occult crime units. They were just bringing them out. They were very hush hush. They were very low budget. So everybody's like, oh, how cool, you worked with the police. No, it's like very, very pennies to pay. And I thought it was very glamorous too, until I started finding what they wanted me to find. So when you're working occult crimes, you're dealing with dead, mutilated animals. You're dealing with dead, mutilated, sometimes human remains, particularly preborn babies and babies. And so at the age of 20, 21, 19, super traumatic because it's not just like something you see, like when I was three and you're watching a movie, it's something that's right in front of you. That they're digging up and exhuming in the corners. Makes me sick. Like even now talking about it, it was just highly visceral and traumatic. So I decided then it's not glamorous to work with the police and I wanted nothing to do with it, to be honest with you. So that's my, you know, throughout the years, I've been involved with some of my clients who are law enforcement and got called in on some cases, but never, I didn't really go down that like Medium, if you guys have ever watched Medium, you know, where you're actually a paid consultant permanently. So I kind of dabbled in that. So that's when I really knew that my abilities were solid because they were not just being proven in my friends' lives, you know, but also proven in actuality and very, very in a gory way. So that gave me a lot of confidence, but again, kind of shelved them. I did the 3D thing, you know, got married, had kids, and I had a lot of health problems. And that's kind of where I steered off into the naturopathic. I became an herbalist. I became internationally known. I wrote for a magazine. I opened up a business. I ended up opening four naturopathic clinics in the Columbus, Ohio area. I was quite well known throughout the Midwest. And that was before we kind of did everything on the internet. So thankfully, I don't have to see client after client anymore because we have this beautiful technology that I discovered during that time in my own health journey. That then I began using in my practice and I'm still using today, just in a different form. We used to have machines. Now we have apps. So that's very brief, fast, blathering journey of my life.
Wow.
So, you know, with all these abilities and your practice, did any of your patients come to you and say, you know, you have these abilities, you know, they have a question, you know, because, you know, I mean, even today, I think that would be a big question mark for some people.
You know, I call myself the lazy psychic. I actually should brand that because I call myself the lazy psychic now, because before, and it's interesting, I'm going to talk a little bit about you, Julia, now, because I ran you on the technology and I ran your aura. And you and I are very similar in this way. You're actually highly psychic. And I don't know if you're aware, I know you're aware you're psychic, but I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but a higher dimensional gift outside of this reality, how everybody does it in the upper dimensions is, well, they don't use language a lot. They have language, most of them, other planets and other, you know, species, but they don't use it. They use a lot of telepathy. But what they do is what's called full merge or half merge. So when you have family relationships or marriage relationships, and this happens too, we just don't necessarily put words to it. But how I used to function when I practiced as a medical intuitive is I have the ability, and this is since childhood, to, and this is kind of a scary ability, but I have the ability to merge with any item, any animal, any person fully and become them and look at them from the inside out. And so obviously when my clients would consult me, if I am their husband and you're asking me if he's cheating, I can not only tell you if he's cheating, I can describe the woman he's cheating with. I can give you the license. I've given people license plates off the car. If I merge with him and he's right there, because I become them. So it's a combination of a merge and a remote viewing. And I don't know if you're aware of it, Julia, you actually do this without, you may or may not know you do it, but you also merge with people to get information. So I thought that was interesting when I was.
Since Julie has these abilities, is it safe that she should play the lottery from now on and pick the numbers?
She should. She needs to. Yeah. So Julia's interesting because
I know I'm trying to get the winning lottery numbers from you because I can't win. I can't get them. I don't even get one number in 50 years.
I love getting readings. I never get them. So thank you.
Really? Oh, no. I have some interesting stuff to tell you. So, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about that, what, and I do this too, and you kind of have to know you do it to stop doing it. So one of the things when you merge that you don't do is you leave an, what we call an echo or a residual energy of yourself behind, which, I mean, if it's with your husband, it's cool because you don't care if he has access to your abilities, but you're actually, but when like maybe a stranger in the grocery store, maybe you don't want them to have some of your psychic abilities or the essence of you. So I want to make sure that you consciously pull all your energy back unless you want to be merged still with that person, if that makes sense. So yeah. I saw that, you know, as kind of a
it's hard to do.
It is, because we're lazy and it's hard to check, and we're so used to, if you're a merger, which you are, and you've been a merger since really young, it's so comfortable to you, you don't even think to unmerge. Does that make you just kind of, yeah. So there's a lot of Julie out there. You guys are lucky because you're really, 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 when I pulled your aura, I was actually kind of surprised because usually people don't have so much light in your, in their aura, and I'm going to try to hold it up, but you have a lot of, I don't know if you can see.
I'll see through a picture.
Oh my God.
A lot of purple and green. It's kind of hard to see because of the reflection, and I'll send it to you. I am going to say something though. You have outside forces. I'm sorry. I'm like taking over the show. you have like outside forces that are like compressing you and keeping you from fully expanding. So whatever success you've had up till now, it's not the success that you can have. You actually have what we call a matrix programming line. And I'll send this to you so you can blow it up and like see what I'm talking about and play it back. But you have a matrix programming line. So you're double held down. You're held down by, like, we'll call them dark forces, just for lack of a better term. I'm sure we could, you know, discover who they were. But then also the matrix computer also has programming that's keeping you small. But the light in you, in your psychic abilities, is like rarely seen. Like you're the highest frequency possible in the essence of your being as far as psychic ability. Wow. So, and you also have healing ability and you're a great communicator. Yeah. So you've got it all, but you're being held back.
Yeah.
Is she being held back by the dark forces in the home?
I didn't really, hold on, let me see. I didn't really look at your, do you guys have dark forces in your home that you're aware of?
Yes, this is the Horse Fly Chronicles home, yes. Unfortunately, we deal with that.
Well, you know what came up, interestingly enough? The home usually comes up and talks if it wants to, and it did bring up, I have a panel called Supernatural Domes of Protection, and that did come up when I ran you, and it asked for Orgon, It says there's negative technology being used against you. It asks, because we place domes, I have domes over my home and property. So to put a dome of mirrors over your property, which like, you know, repels things, and we can do this with frequency, to invite and ask for the protection of the cryptids and the fae that are on your property. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever formally asked them. Yeah, so definitely there's something going on. And then they ask for a diamond dome, which is one of the highest. Like if when the house requests a diamond dome, yeah, there's some crap going on. So by that, I could guess that there was something going on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you would think it's more from the house or outside, like people?
I don't know. I'd have to look deeper. I mean, that we could get really crazy woo-woo. I mean, I'd have to look if you guys are in the projects, if you're being taken, if you're taking what ET groups are taking you, why they're taking you. Is it positive groups? Is it negative groups? What corporations do you work for? If you're in Mill Labs, if you're in SSP, like that gets, and I mean, we could talk about that, you know, but I'd have to look and see.
Okay.
Then I would know kind of who your enemies are and who your friends are, and we could sort it out, shake it out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Interesting.
Yeah. I agree with all that.
I have it run, Philip, but one more thing that's so huge about you. So you have, and I don't know if anyone's ever told you this, you have, Julia, what's called the metagene. It's a genetic, it's actually a genetic DNA thing that's measurable that just says you have wicked psychic ability. So my guess is, you're probably a super soldier and they probably accessing you because they don't let anybody that has the metagene alone. I have the metagene too.
Wow.
Where do you get this information from?
Chills. I have to write that down.
Where do I get this information from? She's telling me her field. This is a sentient quantum technology that is reading the frequencies in her field. She's giving me the information. I'm just the voice to it.
Huh, interesting.
Wow.
But you missed the point. 100%
accurate. It's 100% accurate. Because it's
as a psychic, you missed the part that she's part witch. My wife is part witch.
I don't think she's part witch. What are you talking about?
I think she's part witch. That's a fact. That's 1,000% fact.
This girl's like magic through and through. Yeah, she's been magic for many lifetimes. Yeah, she's a bright, but she's bright. She hasn't chosen. This is a game. Like, this is a game realm. It doesn't matter. You can choose light or dark. Who cares? It's just a game. You're just a character. You're playing a game. But your wife, to her credit, has chosen throughout many lifetimes to work on the side of light. Although we've all done both sides, but she prefers to work the light.
Yes, I would agree to that. Thank you. Aw, I love you.
Wow, amazing. It's amazing, like I said, how you get the information. And I want to talk about a couple of things in your bio. One of them is alien abduction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I want to hear about that because, you know, I had something similar and I really want to hear your experience.
You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm getting chills. I don't know why. That's so weird. You're just getting chills. I'm going to tell you my most recent abduction experience, which was 2 weeks ago. And it's like more typical, usually we're memory wiped because everybody in the whole planet is memory wiped multiple times a day and uploaded to the mainframe, like every word you say, every thought you think, every emotion, all your activities, because, you know, it's about control and refining the programming. So then they refine our programming based on, you know, this big upload. One of the computers, by the way, the major computers on the moon base, and you guys know the moon is not an organic sentient thing. It's the Death Star. The reason they put the Death Star in Star Wars is that's our moon. They have a hologram around it that makes you, you know, the fake little, I think it looks fake. I've always thought since a child it looked fake, but what you see is the hologram. If you can see through the hologram or the, you know, technology would fail, it looks exactly like the Death Star. It's a junky old rotting base with a junky old rotting computer on it that they upload us to. But there's also another one on the Sun Simulator. And you can actually see on the SESHI cameras, you can, if you look at some of the NASA pictures of the sun, you can see the ship sitting on the Sun Simulator. And that's where their second backup computer that runs the whole simulation sits. And you can actually see that with your own eyes if you go there. So anyway, back to your question. So 2 weeks ago, I went to visit my daughter And I have a car camera. I used to have a front and back one, but I have one just that films the front, just because people are crazy, you know, and especially driving. And so it films all the time, and then it deletes, and you can, you know, download it into your computer or whatever. So I was driving my daughters, and I was looking out the, you know, window driving, and then I happened to see blue flashing lights. So when we see blue flashing lights, I thought, oh, there's a cop. He's either coming into the apartment complex going past me, or he's pulling me over for who knows what, you know? And so I saw these blue flashing lights, and they were kind of reflecting weird in my camera and kind of in front of me and all around me. So I physically stopped the car and turned around, and there's nobody there. Okay. So I kind of just in a hurry blipped it, didn't think about it, thought maybe I caught a reflection, went there, went home. As I'm driving up, this is like an hour later, as I'm driving up my road to go home, I have my dogs with me. I had a couple of my dogs with me. I have one dog that sees entities, spirits, ETs, whatever, Sasquatch, Dogman. She sees 100% of the time. So if she barks, you know something's there. So all of a sudden, I saw the same as the color in your aura, Julia, this beautiful purple round with my eyes portal in front of the car. Like it was a, you know, like a giant orb, but it was like a stargate. And flashing purple lights and sparkly things. And she started going ballistic, barking. And then I got home and I'd lost an hour of time. That was actually two abductions. I was abducted by positive ETs, and I was abducted by the Grays at my daughter's apartment and taken to a council meeting. So I had memory of that abduction, but it was weird to that they let me have that double memory of two different abductions in the same night. I never have that. I mean, anyway, go ahead. Sorry. I want to hear yours.
Well, in 2007 of July, we lived in a different home in Eastern Pennsylvania. It might've been around 1-2 in the morning. And
I'm going to look at you
too. These tall beings came through the window. Like the window didn't exist and the wall didn't exist.
Wow.
They had very big eyes, silky, very silky fingers. Mm-hmm. Slimy, and they were very tall. And I remember I was turned around, face down on the opposite side of the bed. My wife stood up like she went up, but somehow they controlled a part of the brain where I couldn't move.
Yes,
and she couldn't move. And I felt like I was in a sleep paralysis type thing. And they put something through my left eardrum. And I don't know what it was, and I had no control, no bodily control. I could only open my eyes and see what was going on to a certain point, but I knew what these things looked like. And I woke up the next day, the bedroom was a wreck. I asked my wife, do you remember what anything happened here? She says, no. And I remember a couple of neighbors a couple of days later said, did you hear about the UFO sighting in Eastern Pennsylvania? It's like, I don't know, but I thought I had a weird dream. And then, yeah, long and behold, it hit the papers that there was this sighting someone had made. And then after that point, I was a telemarketer. I used to hold the phone to my left ear, and I couldn't do that no more because I would feel tingling in my left ear. And up until this day, I can't lift a mattress.
It's true.
I get shocks through my fingers that are uncontrollable. I don't know why. And, you know, I thought it might have been a dream. But when other people have seen this craft, you know, then you really can't debunk what your own experience was, that something was going on.
Wow.
So that's my experience.
Did they take you out, or you don't remember if they took you
away from the bedroom? I was in the room. I don't remember being pulled out of the room. I do remember feeling something being pulled into my left eardrum.
Yeah, that's where that my implant is my left ear, which usually goes off when I talk about this, which I'm just waiting for it to go off. They turn it up to try to make me stop. They're like, we don't like what you're saying, so we're going to be really distracting. They haven't done it yet, though. I'm going to look at some things with you. So
I was waiting for that.
Wow. I mean, it's interesting. They were the Grays. Yeah. That's what they look like. I didn't know much about.
Yeah, at that time, we didn't really...
You went back to 2007. Yeah. I mean...
I thought he was crazy. I mean, I didn't know what he was talking about. I thought I was crazy, too,
up until, like, people seen this thing and they documented it. Wow. And they didn't know about me. I didn't talk about this. Why can't I lift the mattress?
It's probably something to do with the metal. Do you have metal in your mattress? Do you have springs? Is it a spring mattress or park spring mattress?
Living mattress. I can't lift it. Yeah, the coils. Yeah.
I think it's something to do with that. So hold on, I'm just scanning you. Well, first of all, Philip, you're highly monitored, so that's not surprising that you are. You were actually interested. Oh, well, that's why. Okay, I got it all for you anyway. Well, yeah. So you're taken constantly. You're a super. Okay, I don't know. I haven't looked at you, Julia, but Philip, you're a super soldier. You've been a super soldier for millions and millions and millions of years. They have trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars invested in you. They pretty much do with you what they want.
Trillions of dollars. They can't share anything with me in the physical world. Like, yeah, you know, here's a handout.
Let me see if I can.
No, I mean, you don't have to ask him for the money. I mean, you know, not now anyway, but maybe when the show's over.
Well, I don't know if you guys know this, but my family works in human cloning and consciousness transfer. So I know a lot about how this fits together with the programs. And you have a ton of clones. You're a super soldier. You work for, a lot of your clones work for three-letter agencies. Sometimes they take your whole body and this body and they take it out and you actually go on missions in this body. You also are consciousness transferred into cyborg enhanced, like a Terminator, exactly like Terminator. You work for a bunch of corporations, but they'll make me pay if I announce that. Usually I get attacked really badly and stalked if I talk about it, but I'll send you an email with the corporations you work for, which will be very enlightening. If you've heard of corporations like Monarch, MKUltra, Umbrella Corporation, you've probably heard of some of those. So the corporations run the reality. They're over all the militaries in the whole world. And then over the corporations is the Galactic Federation of, I call it non-light, because they're not always the most light. Most people think they're good, but they're not good or bad. They just have their own interests. Yeah, but you're owned, completely owned. So I'm sure you're implanted. They probably had to fix an implant because you were implanted before that. You have implants throughout your whole body. If you had, just like me, when I went to go have an MRI, they made me have a CAT scan.
The machine shut down the first time. And this was like, this was about a year later. I had to go for an MRI because I had ripped my leg, fell down the stairs. And the machine shut down in the Eastern Hospital.
Yeah, pretty typical, yeah. So you're heavily implanted with actual, when I say implanted, so there's two kinds of implants. There's the implants that are in our energy field, and like a savior implant is not an implant you can pull out. You can pull it out possibly of your energy field, but you're not going to pull it out of your body. But super soldiers are implanted with things that can be seen on x-rays and can be pulled out, as well as, you know, everybody has nanotechnology. So everybody's implanted, but super soldiers have, we're actually even enhanced in our 3D lives. We're smarter, faster, more cunning than normal people. We're enhanced even in our 3D lives. Sometimes they give us access to that. Sometimes they don't.
So when am I a super soldier? When I go to sleep at night and I have an out-of-body experience, like when does that actually take place?
Actually, and a lot of people don't know this, the technology they have, they've had for millions of years, they actually take whole towns in the day. They actually freeze and rewind time all the time. There's millions, not millions. There's many CERNs. There's not just the CERN in Switzerland. They have like 500. They've shut some of them down. But a lot of the CERNs mess with time, open portals, shut portholes, different ET groups that own different regions or the Galactic Federation. They take, because that's the agreement they have with the world governments. That's part of the game. It's part of the game rules you agree when you come here. That's a whole nother story. And you're a fire creator. You're both, this is very rare. Like the three of us sitting here is a very rare experience because you both are fire creations, you know, spirits too. So you're both eternal, old. Hold on. I want to see which wave you are, Julia. So of course, Julia's first wave, and so are you, and so am I. So there's three first wave out of the all, out of all consciousness, the first wave of individual breakout beings, three of them are sitting here. These are the gods. There's books, there's stories. I know who I am. There's like, I know what stories are written about me. I know what character. I don't talk about it a lot because it sounds really stupid, like you're bragging. But we are the superheroes. I have clients who write and draw for Marvel Comics and the Marvel movies. And they tell me they get the notes to draw these characters and write these comics and these movies. They're military notes. They get their notes from the military, from the cloning programs, from the super soldier program. So they don't create these, you know, imaginary characters. They're based on us.
Wow.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
That's fascinating. So I'm a super soldier.
Oh, he's not going to stop now. I'm going to
use it. Oh, yeah, yeah. You are 100% hardcore, yeah, super soldier. And
wait, so am I.
Are you?
Aren't I?
I haven't looked at you to see if you are.
I'm going to shoot me tomorrow at the mall saying super soldier.
Probably not.
I'll look at you. Hold on. I'm going to run you again. Hold on. But this is so interesting, you guys. I have done thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of these scans over the last 6 years. We are not finding anyone, whether they're an empty clone, you know, or fire creation or whatever. We are not finding anyone, including pets, that aren't being taken regularly. Oh, I was going to tell you, Philip, you were taken last night, by the way. So again, we're memory wiped. And Philip, because you're a super soldier, and I'll look at you in a minute, Julia, you can tell. So they do a lot of injections up here. So it was funny. One day I went to my massage therapist. He's like, why do you have all these needle marks in your, I didn't even know. Cause how often do you look at the back of your, you know, shoulder?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. He makes me laugh. He's going to be
well, I'm looking for needles.
Looking at his arms all night.
No, but pin marks, needle marks, bruises. Like a lot of times, and I put them on my groups. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I have bruise marks from this position, from somebody standing in front of you, grabbing you up here on my wrist. Sometimes I have big, huge, nasty bruises. Like I was literally in some kind of battle. Sometimes, you know, oh, and also between like right now, mine's swollen, so they've messed with my spinal fluid. In the ridge, there's a little divot circle at the base of your skull, and then you go to the top of your spine. And if that area is puffy, it means they messed with your spinal fluid. Because a lot of times from the super soldiers, they're putting stuff in. And you know what's even more fascinating? You can go on Amazon and get a urine test. And if you test yourself 7 days in a row and you've been taken during that, you're going to test for Molly. You're going to test for LSD. You're going to test for all sorts of crap that hopefully you're not like choosing to take recreation, you know. They're doing it in your actual body. And when you're a time traveler, so when you go through time, it takes a lot of drugs to get you back functional if they're using this body. You have to have certain drugs to be able to jump gate. And the fact that you are a super soldier and you can travel, not all fire creation spirits or clones even have the ability. A lot of people die going through jump gates. So it's only the very oldest beings that have the highest frequency that can slip through time. So you're like super awesome.
Oh, me or Han?
You. I've been talking to you the whole time.
What about you?
Keep going. I didn't want to stop you.
Now I'm going to look at your wife and see if she's a super soldier so you can't bash her over the head when you fight and say, I'm a super soldier.
You know what's funny is my dreams, I always talk about my dreams because I tell my wife, you know, when I wake up the next day, sometimes it's so real.
Yeah.
But I feel like I went somewhere else. I do feel like I've been somewhere else. And I don't know.
A lot of the times your dreams, not all the time, they give you a lot of cover memories. So everyone again on the planet, because they're always messing with us, like they'll even give you stupid cover memories. They'll give you a cover memory like when you're 10 years old. And let's say you're sitting around talking to your cousins. And you're like, remember the time when we went to grandma's on my 10th birthday and they had this pony and like seven people are looking at you like that didn't happen. That's how you uncover cover memories because they give you stupid cover memories. You weren't there at your birthday party with your little pony. You were already taken because they start taking super soldiers. You're probably also part of Project Surrogate, which means, well, this is a whole nother conversation, but you know, nothing that they tell us is true, right? Everything they tell us is a lie for our manipulation. So when you're in sex education and they're like, you're so special, Philip, this sperm was swimming and out of 7 million, you know, no. Super soldiers are all implanted in families by the military. Actually today, and I know this from my family, 80 to 90% of all babies, they're implanted, whether they're super soldiers or not. So it's not this random, you know, the strongest sperm just happened to, you know, no. They're putting you in certain genetics. So I'm in a double royal Draco reptilian bloodline because they're not going to allow they don't like the Julias. They want you to stay dark, repressed, cabal, evil. You know, they don't want you to change the game, change it up to like a fourth density instead of a third density, which we are thankfully heading to a fourth density. They want to make sure they make life difficult for you.
Mm-hmm. For you.
Yeah. Oh, makes sense.
So that's why we're yin and yang. I'm the super soldier. And,
it makes a lot of sense.
Wow. Although, I mean, super soldiers, they work for the corporations. So some of the corporations get good projects and like you're carrying kids out from the bases, you know, rescuing them. And then sometimes you're assassinating people or beings or, you know, other ET races or blowing up planets. You do have psi abilities too, Philip. So they do use you for your psi abilities, but they use you a lot for fighting and flying like jet plane, you know, their planes and their slave ships. And you work for Dark Fleet. You work for the Germans. You've been to Antarctic base. You've been to Mars. You actually have a huge lives on Mars, multiple lives on Mars with other families, other wives, children. Like, it's crazy, you guys. The reality of non-reality is crazy and so much more interesting than this reality, to be honest.
That's definitely amazing. You know,
I can listen to you talk.
A few years ago, we had a paranormal investigator alone in the living room and the rest of us in the basement. Mm-hmm. And on home surveillance, she disappears for 12 minutes. And years before that, one other time, there was a time lapse with me, my son, and a psychic in the home.
It's happened.
And an hour and a half was lost. And the fact that you're bringing all this up, you're bringing stuff up that I don't know much about. You know, I know I felt like I was abducted, but I don't know to what degree. And you're explaining everything, but now it's sort of making sense to me.
Yeah. And guess what, Julia, you are a super soldier. All first waves, I mean, they're not going to let that go to waste. All the wisdom, all the experience. I mean, we are like, there is no time. Like all time is now, future, past, whatever, because we're infinite beings. But if we're marking with time, like we all are like trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions year old beings. We've been, and you know how everybody's like, what's your soul family? And they're like, oh, I'm Palladian and I'm, you know, whatever. That's such BS. Because we've been so many races. We've been trees. We've been animals. We've been plants. We've been planets. We've been suns. We've been Dracus. We've been Pleiadians. We've been Fae. We've been Dogmen. We've been like everything. And you know, and so what's really cool about that, though, and really exciting is, of course, there's no death. It's just a switch of avatar. This is just wetware. It's so exciting because guess what? You guys get to decide. You get to decide a lot of things. You get to decide if you're going to be together in your next life or if you're going to go your separate ways, because we all have many soulmates, you know, not just one. you know, you can go back to your previous and that's a whole nother show, but we could look at where you came from before you entered the game and who your most recent soul family is. You might choose to go back to that, or you might choose to go back to source. Or one of my friends, right before she came into the game, she's amazing, but she was on a planet where there were only like seven people and they were all just light, love, and sound. Wow. Like she came from pure love to here, and she really struggles here, obviously, but she came to help. So, I mean, I think that's really exciting. We're not taught that in religion. We're not taught that we create 100% of our own reality and we get to choose. We can go back to our soul family. I mean, I'm Cetacean and I have a ship above my house and I have a husband on that ship and I'm a healer on that ship and I'm an international known galactic healer with all the ET races. I can go back and do that, which I think I'm going to. Or you can create your own reality and you can go hang out there for a while. You can take a break or you can do whatever you want. You can step into what avatar you want. It's so super cool. They don't tell us that. They get us caught in the white light trap in the religion and they send us back here putting guilt on us that we have to help the game. It's just a game. There's nothing to help here. It's just a game.
So how do we take some of these superhero things in the physical realm and utilize it now that you just told us, like, is there any way to benefit in the physical realm, or there isn't from that?
No, 100%. I mean, I make my living accessing my infinite beingness of power. I mean, accessing, turning on, fully embracing, turning up my abilities. Absolutely, 100%. However, the game is so thickly layered with so many multiple layers of program. Even like you mentioned your house. So many people have possessed items in their house. So many people have negative human discarnates. You guys know this one, you know, in their house. And a lot of times, and I haven't checked you guys. I mean, I didn't see anything in Julia. I actually didn't see anything in you. I don't think you guys right now. But a lot of times, even in me, I have to be careful or human discarnates will walk into me. So at any given time, about 70% of the population has human discarnates in them. And you guys know they love to body jump. If they can get a body, they're going to get a body. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm constantly, my poor son-in-law, he doesn't pay any attention to his energy field or his environment. He's a fire creation, but he just wanders around kind of lost. And they jump him all the time. At one time, I had to pull out a 40-year-old woman and a 3-year-old little boy out of him in one night.
Oh,
wow. Is that possession we're talking about?
Yeah.
People call it possession, but it's not like dark force possession. These are just fourth dimensional beings that are stuck in the astral that want a body because they don't have a very solid body. They have like half bodies in the astral and they've created their own little, actually Ghost has some episodes that describe the actuality of the human discarnate fourth astral. A lot of it's BS because they're like, go to the light and all that's a trap, you know, but they have some episodes where they really describe and show exactly what the astral dimension is, which is a copy of our dimension. They have cars, they have homes, they have wives, they have children, and people don't teach this about ghosts either. So you can kind of be in a copy of the game. You can be recycled and reincarnated, come back to a baby and go back into the game. Or you can go do whatever, go to another game realm, another planet, another place. You can go in a pod. You can have your consciousness transferred here. There's just a million things you can do.
Wow.
Amazing.
I want to be on a beach.
And you can do that. So, you know, a lot of people do that.
No, we could do it in this life. How do we get to the beach in this life?
Well, you guys, so you guys are way more activated than you think. And I'll send you both your auras. So your aura, Philip, you're actually a communicator healer too, which is interesting. When I look at your past lives, you've actually been a doctor and a medic. And you've been worked on ships as in the medic like unit on many, many lives. So you're very medical. Like in a lot of your past lives and in your future lives, it looks like you choose to heal and help too. Interestingly enough.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow.
So you guys are already tapped in. You're both super soldiers. I don't know. I didn't look and see if you have the metagene, but it doesn't really matter. You're both highly gifted right now and you are accessing it. You guys have found your way to the paranormal. To me, that says you have some residual memory. We don't store our memories of infinity in our brains. We store them in our energy field. They don't really wipe our memories. They prevent us from accessing them. So the first thing to accessing your memories is making your home a sacred space, clearing your land, clearing Curry, Hartman lines, getting rid of any super negative beings, working with the positive beings. And then we have to do our shadow work too, because a lot of us come in believing and programmed to believe in karma. There's actually no karma. It's only karma if you believe in it. This is a mirrored reality. So it's a cause and effect reality, but you don't have to drag karma from, you know, 700 trillion years ago into this game realm. That's a totally separate thing. And other realities operate different. This is a mirrored reality. So there is cause and effect. So, you know, I'm not religious. I don't believe in the Bible, but the Bible does give us a key. It says, you know, what you put out, you get back. That is true. It's a mirrored reality.
Yes.
Fascinating. So
I believe that 100%.
But, you know, ghost, that's the aliens and the, and all that stuff. And my head's all pumped up now for the listener because I'm going to fight and destroy other planets. So my abilities are getting stronger right now on this radio show.
He's going to be messing with me, Dave, now.
And tomorrow I do get a superhero shirt made in the mall.
You should. I mean, you are. You know, and when we read deeper, you know, in different classes and stuff that I do, like I just did a remembering class. I just taught a 2-year remembering class with 5 groups. And we read the deeper lives and who you're, you know, we can actually One of the girls in my class was a Hindu goddess, and now she knows, and she has statues of herself. Like, how cool is that? Like, that's so super cool, because the first, second, third, fourth wave, these are your heroes. These are the people in the real history books, you know, the history under the Vatican that they burned in the Library of Alexandria. These, you know, books have been written about us. Movies have been made about us. You know, we are Cleopatra. We are these big historical figures because we are the smartest, oldest, savviest, most enhanced beings on the planet. There is nobody. We're all part of each other, because if you go distill it all back, we all started out as what some people would call God or the all. There is really, we are the gods and goddesses, though. There is no one God. There's all distillation of, you know, what some people call God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah. I
so the ghost, right?
Yeah. What?
Ghost. Are ghosts interdimensional beings? Are ghosts people that have crossed over? In your opinion,
mm-hmm. There are people. So let's say I'll take this out of the quanta. But let's say Julia passed tonight, and we'll take that out of the quanta. So, because I'm really powerful, and what we speak comes to happen. So I don't want Philip to sue me. But Julia has a choice. She can hang around and watch her funeral, of course. She can hang out in comfort and send, you know, love and to everybody and all our friends and her family. She can go join the people stumbling around the astral, or she talked about her beach. She can go rest at her beach for 700 years waiting for Mr. Philip to come along or whoever else. And then, you know, go and say, okay, I want to go back on the ship and work. You know, I want to go back to the Pleiades, or I want to go back to the Cetacean, or I want to go to Venus, or I want to go wherever. So we're just so much more effing powerful than they tell us. And they do everything to keep us from accessing our abilities and this multiversal knowledge and our power.
You know, I have a question. Now, I have been blocked off like half my life. How do we block ourselves, and why?
A lot of it, and you know, I don't blame a lot of it on us. Again, the programming is so thick. I mean, your program, school is programming. I mean, medicine is programming. The law system is programming. Entertainment is programming. Like, you are so programmed. Like, and you guys are super soldiers. So you are what I call hardcore. You're owned by Monarch. You're hardcore MK altered. So this is the dark side, but you've been taken. You've been, some of you, I don't know if you guys are in the, I don't know if you've been age regressed. All super soldiers are not age regressed, where they take you at 3 and you go live entire lives, and then they bring you back a second later. That messes you up, like, mentally and emotionally, of course. But so there's this huge dark side that just, like, there's so much trauma. And here's the thing. Even though we're infinite beings, we haven't always made good choices. We've been memory wiped, and we've come back and back and back to the game, or we've been deceived back into the game. So we don't have this memory. To me, the first step in growth and breaking through is knowing the nature of where you live. So if you think that God created the world and Adam and Eve, I mean, you're going to be spending a long time in religion and in density that's holding you down if you don't understand what this reality is. Once you understand it's a game realm, and then you understand that you are way more, this game is only 12,500 years old. You are trillions of years old. If you can't figure out how to game a 12,500, you should just go back to the all right now. So I have learned, and others have learned, how to game the game. And so when you learn the rules of the game, and then you learn how to, like, survivor, outwit, outplay, outlast, beat the rules of the game, you become living in creation. You get to create your life. If you guys want to live on the beach, you create that. You bring that into your reality, because that's the rules of the game. It says, if you obey the rules and do the right things, you know, and work with the frequency. And the cool thing about frequency, which is what I teach and work with the most, is frequency goes back to the all. We came out like color and sound. Frequencies like color and sound. All the dimensions, all the races work in frequency. All the advanced tech is frequency technology. So, you know, it's learning how to hook up with these things and understanding first the game. Then you have to understand what's outside of the game, which is basically anything you can imagine. There's shadow realms, there's hell realms, there's dual timelines, it's just crazy. There's tons of games like this. This is just the most popular game in the multiverse right now. The Earth game is so popular. People are paying huge prices to go into pods, be hooked up to machines, and have their consciousness transferred into avatars here. It's a very popular game. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
Wow. My head's spinning.
Where did he get this from? Books? Like, where do you get this knowledge?
No, it's just, I mean, I've done a lot of work to activate my memory and my connection. I have the ability to travel outside this room to bilocate, try, like right now I can talk to you. I can be walking through all my daughter's house and tell you what they're doing at the same time. So I have the ability to go up and communicate with other races. I sit on councils, planetary councils. Some of you guys do too. I've just learned how to release a lot of my trauma. As you release your trauma, as you work on your shadow, which is what you were talking about, Julie. So it's not all things that, you know, you take a magic pill. You also have to do your shadow work. And up until 43, I didn't do my shadow work. Now I do my shadow work and my abilities are increasing as I release. And we use our technology. We use frequency. Some you just have to like face and release yourself. But to me, it's opening up to the possibility. Even if you don't believe a thing I say, it's just dropping it in your field, your memory and your spirit and your oversoul, because you exist, even if you have clones, which both of you have clones, your clones, whether you have one or 1,000, you guys both have more than one, are 100% you. So you say, how do I access that? You are accessing it. If you're a spy for the CIA and you time travel for them and you're doing successful missions, some days you get blown up, you do, but there's plenty of you, so we can lose you. And you know, you wonder how sometimes you have like a down day, or you're like, I don't know why I feel just so crappy. Maybe 60 of your clones died because they're 100% you. The difference between you guys right now talking to me and your clones is your attention is here, but you can learn. I haven't learned how to become my clones, but I can go view a lot of my clones. Like I know what some of my clones look like. There's a TV series based on one of my clones that everyone would know if I would say it. A very popular TV series. J.J. Abrams, anything he writes is not fiction. It's fact. J.J. Abrams, all his series are fact. It's all revealing how the clone system works, how the super soldier system works, how the corporations work, how the mob works, you know, all of that.
You know what's interesting is in my book, and I don't know you, I've never spoke to you before, and I don't know much about the knowledge, you know, I'm learning to me like stuff I never heard before, and I'm kind of impressed, especially what I am. But in the 80s, this is true, in Staten Island, New York, I remember I was driving in the car with my friend, and I'm on a street called Highland Boulevard in Staten Island, New York, and I see me in front of a bus stop, and it's me, and I'm about 18 years old, and I get the car, and I go to my friend, going, what's going on? That's me. And he looked, and he goes, that is you. And I scared the car, and I pull over quick, and I'm running, and then the guy's gone, but it was me. And that's actually my book that came out years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a mind blower. That's a mind blower to me because I seen me.
And you're different ages. So that's very possible that you weren't even the same age, you know, that older or younger. Your clones. And also your consciousness can be in a completely different body. Like, for example, your consciousness could be in someone who looked like Julia. It would still be all of you. It's just a different avatar, you know.
So was that my clone?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it looks like it to me when I go back and look at it. It looks like absolutely.
Just that one time.
Yeah.
Well, you have a lot of clones, so that doesn't surprise me that you would. You know, and how people talk about doppelgangers, like in Vampire Diaries, they're big on doppelgangers. And there's no such, no, you don't have doppelgangers. You have clones. It's not by chance they're your clones.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, this has been a mind-blowing show.
I didn't even get to any.
And it's, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, time is
over.
But this show has been mind-blowing. No, we definitely need to do a part two.
Thank you so much.
Because you have knowledge I've never heard of before. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you and what do you have going on?
Yeah, secrettoeverything.com. So just these scans, we do a MyLab scan so we could tell them if they, you know, what they're involved in, how they're involved. We also can share their like most recent 4 or 5 star families because people do want to you know, connect with the star families. And sometimes people have star family ships and then they open up communication, which is very beneficial. They'll come and heal you at night and stuff, which is super cool. So we offer that. We also offer very generic. I'm a naturopathic doctor. So we offer full scans, mind, body, soul, spirit. You know, we don't have to go into the woo-woo stuff if you're like, okay, that woman's crazy. And then we offer little baby scans if you just want to get your feet wet and see what we do. And then I have mentoring groups that I teach monthly. We sell our technology. We train on our technology. We have a whole bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of free stuff. We're redoing our website, but there's still free stuff. And you can reach our staff support. There's a box there if you have any questions, and they'll be happy to help you. So I have a YouTube channel. I mean, just lots of stuff.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a fascinating show. My head is pumped tonight, and so is Julie's. And
thank you so
much. I have to go fight other planets. With that, Julie, wrap up the show.
All right, well, we want a special thank you to Carnation for fully sponsoring the show. We love them. Please join us next Monday night on the United Public Radio Network on 105.3 FM from New Orleans, and stay tuned for the Angel Rock with Laura Lee Poulton.
Thank you, everyone. Have thank a safe, you, great night, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.